Here's your KNDY weatherology forecast for northeast Kansas and southeast Nebraska. For today's sunny skies, mid-90s, we'll see wind gusts as high as 20 miles an hour. Tonight, clear, upper 60s around 70. Winds will be from the south between 5 and 10. For tomorrow's sunny skies, mid-90s, winds will be from the south between 5 and 10. Tomorrow night, mostly clear in the upper 60s. For Friday, sunny skies could see some isolated storms in the afternoon, lower 90s. Right now, it's 64.
Kansas Mid-American Network News, good Wednesday. Some Kansas schools may be able to play an amended version of their fall season in the spring under a plan that the Kansas High School Activities Association is considering. With some of the state's largest districts canceling or suspending fall sports and other extracurricular activities, the association executive board voted 9-0 Monday in favor of the alternative fall season opportunity. Any schools that play in the alternative season won't have a playoff. The association's board of directors will take final action on Friday. The University of Kansas released an update on COVID-19 cases yesterday, and it shows that 216 students and 6 faculty and staff members have tested positive. That brings the total case count to 222. The school says 133 of the positive student cases are at fraternity and sorority organizations. In all, almost 19,500 people have been tested at KU. Mid-America Network News.
Scammers are as focused on the coronavirus as we are. They may contact you about a cure, even though none currently exists. They may request donations to a bogus charity to help the infected, or they may pretend to be from a government agency offering important information in an effort to get you to click a link that installs malicious software on your device. If you're contacted by someone regarding the coronavirus and unsure if it's a scam, call the AARP Fraud Watch Network helpline at 877-908-3360. For more information about the coronavirus, visit aarp.org/coronavirus.
This is John Sidorik with JD Aviation Services at the Augusta Airport. There's no doubt that vehicle maintenance is important on the roadways, and proper aircraft maintenance is even more important. Since JD Aviation Services opened its doors, we've received many new customers through recommendations of current customers. So this is your formal invitation to make JD Aviation Services of Augusta your aircraft maintenance partner. Learn more at iFlyAugusta.com.
Kansas Governor Laura Kelly has renominated a federal public defender to the Kansas Court of Appeals despite his initial rejection by the Republican-led state Senate. The Democratic governor said this week that Carl Folsom III is undoubtedly the most qualified person for the job, citing his experience, passion for the law, and understanding of how it affects people's daily lives. Folsom would fill the vacancy created by the retirement of appeals judge Steve Lieben. Kelly told reporters that some state senators said they regret their earlier action and that she expects Folsom to be confirmed this time around. Kansas hunters will be allowed to use artificial light and thermal imaging equipment to hunt coyotes in the night beginning next year. The Kansas Wildlife Parks and Tourism Commission voted last week to make the changes for night hunting of coyotes in response to requests from hunters. Artificial lights and thermal imaging will be allowed between January 1st and March 31st. Hunters will be required to buy a permit to use the equipment. Mid-America Network News.
Downtime isn't an option when there's a job to do. Introducing the BF Goodrich Tradesman Support Program, the only tire program for tradesmen. Join and get up to $100 off a set of 4 BF Goodrich all-terrain TAKO2 tires, a 30-day satisfaction guarantee, and a roadside and worksite assistance program. Kick downtime off the job site. See your dealer for full details.
Mike is back and ready to serve you at Mike's OK Tire in downtown Marysville.
Nebraska Mid-America Network News, good Wednesday. Nebraska's top elections official says he won't put 3 measures on the ballot to legalize casino gambling, arguing that the language they used was misleading and confusing. The decision announced yesterday by Republican Secretary of State Bob Evnen means voters won't get to decide the issue this year unless a court overturns his decision. Supporters of the ballot measures filed immediate legal challenge, and the dispute is likely headed to the Nebraska Supreme Court. Nebraska Democratic Party leaders have endorsed a former congressman to run as a write-in candidate for the U.S. Senate if their scandal-plagued nominee refuses to withdraw. The party's state central committee voted to endorse former Democratic U.S. Representative Brad Ashford as long as nominee Chris Janicek stays in the race. And weather forecasters in Nebraska say these 90-degree temperatures will turn into 80s by the weekend. Mid-America Network News.
We are all working through this difficult time together. We want you to know Blue Valley Technologies is here for you. Whether you are serving on the front lines, transitioning your business to a new norm, or studying and working from home, we are working very hard to keep our communities connected during this pandemic. Stay safe, stay healthy, and stay connected. From all your friends at Blue Valley Technologies.
Reporting local news, I'm Bruce Dierking. Marysville City Council met Monday. An update on the dog park was presented by Maureen Christ, along with several committee volunteers. Don Landall and Landall Corporation have committed to building a 40-foot walking bridge that would cross a ditch south of Jackson Street to the site between South 9th and 10th Streets. A bridge approach, abutments, and rock parking area would run around $15,000. Fencing and gates are anticipated to cost upwards of an additional $30,000. Use of volunteer labor and other means of scaling back the size, with options to expand later, were discussed. The group last year raised just over $3,000, the Pony Express Match Day. A motion passed that the city would contribute up to $5,000 in a good faith effort to encourage additional public donations at the upcoming Match Day in September. The 7-1 decision had Kevin Throm voting no. He early in the conversation pointed out the city contribution budgeted for directional signs, including the dog park. The sign project was mentioned later, as Diane Schroller asked if the city council had voted funding, as was indicated in the Marysville Advocate. Council had discussed the proposal at a budget workshop, setting aside a budget of $35,000, which would cover much of the estimated cost for a series of directional and welcome signs to be located throughout town. Although added to the budget, formal approval has not yet been voted by the council, as they're awaiting more specific details. Chip and seal projects on city streets are complete, and a milling and overlay project on a portion of South 6th Street is the final major street project remaining this year. At a recent airport advisory committee meeting, a number of future projects were discussed. Work on the street and parking may be possible, and they're exploring adding an updated hangar that could encourage demolition of some older private hangars on city property. This may be a five-year project, with another long-term option of widening the runway to 75 feet among top priorities as federal funds become available. Two parties are reportedly interested in operating the Sport and Recreation Program, and talks continue. Mayoral appointments were approved, with Lynn Kroc filling the unexpired term of John Englert on the Convention and Tourism Committee, and Ricky Beichman filling another seat on that board. Gary Howland will take a position on the Airport Advisory Board, currently held by Bud Schutte, and Dr. Randy Brown will fill another position on that board. Demolition work began this week on the Blue Rapids City Swimming Pool, which will replace, in its current location, a new facility. The $1.8 million project will be funded in part through a grant of $743,000 from the state, and the balance through a half-cent city sales tax, which was approved by voters at the August primary election. The tax will run for a period of 20 years. A new bathhouse will be built alongside the new pool. Dorothy L. Johnston, aged 99, passed away August 15th in Round Rock, Texas. Graveside service Saturday, August 29th at 10 a.m. at the Fairmont Cemetery, Blue Rapids. Visitation Friday, noon until 8. Family will receive friends Friday from 6 until 8 at the United Methodist Church in Blue Rapids. Terry Christie Funeral Home in charge of arrangements for Dorothy Johnston. Elaine Schneider, age 90, of Beatty, passed away on Tuesday. Massive Christian burial Saturday, 10 a.m. at St. Malachi's Catholic Church, Beatty. Burial St. Patrick's Catholic Cemetery, Beatty. Rosary Vigil Service Friday evening at 7 at the church. Visitation Friday, 10 until 5 at Kinsley Mortuary of Marysville, in charge of arrangements for Elaine Schneider. Dorothy D. Steiner, age 93, of Frankfurt, passed away August 12. Private graveside service Saturday, 2 p.m. at the Vermilion Cemetery. Haddon Funeral Chapel of Frankfurt in charge of arrangements for Dorothy Steiner. Infant Adeline Erpelding, daughter of Chris Erpelding and Dawn Rakes, passed away August 24th. Private memorial services planned 2 p.m. Saturday at the Laughlin Hovett Funeral Home in Wymore in charge of arrangements for infant Adeline Erpelding. On the Marshall County Senior Citizens Lunch Menu today, a hamburger, beans, cherries, and tomorrow goulash, French bread mixed salad, and fiesta fruit. KNDY News, time is 7:15.
Whether you're buying, building, remodeling, or refinancing, your home is a major investment in your life. At United Bank and Trust, we understand how important it is to work with someone who cares. Our loan officers have the experience it takes to make the process a smooth one. Come in for a visit or start online by filling out a loan application at ubankonline.com in as little as 20 minutes. Mortgage lending with United Bank and Trust. It's banking for your way of life. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
It's time to enroll in jazz, tap, and ballet classes at Footloose Dance Studio in Marysville. Call Denise at 562-8297.
Here's your KNDY weatherology forecast for northeast Kansas and southeast Nebraska. Looking at the surface map, we still have this high-pressure system overhead bringing us sunny skies, dry weather over the next few days, and an upper-level ridge bringing some warm temperatures out there well into the 90s. We'll finally see chances for some scattered showers and thunderstorms as we head into Friday night, continuing into the weekend, early parts of next week with an upper-level trough that's going to move in, bringing us some cooler temperatures back into the 80s, even some areas upper 70s as we head into the middle of next week. So across the area, sunny skies, mid-90s. We'll see wind gusts as high as 20 miles an hour. Tonight, clear, upper 60s, around 70. Winds will be from the south between 5 and 10. For tomorrow, mostly sunny skies, mid-90s. Winds will be from the south between 5 and 10. Tomorrow night, mostly clear, upper 60s. And Friday, sunny, isolated storms in the afternoon, lower 90s. That's a look at your local forecast. This is meteorologist Megan Mulford.
Average high temperature late August, 88, recent record high hit the century mark in 2003. The average low 65, record low of 54 in 2015. Sunset this evening 8:06, sunrise in the morning at 6:49. Sunny and 64 degrees this morning in Marysville. Winds are calm. That's check of the morning news and weather for this Wednesday, the 26th of August. KNDY News Time, 7:17. I'm Bruce Dierking reporting.
One of the best things about summer is enjoying some great barbecue. Pulled pork, brisket, smoked sausage, barbecue chicken, and don't forget the sides, baked beans, cucumber salad, cheesy hash brown taters. I could go on, but now I'm hungry and need to head down to Bite Me Barbecue. Dine in or carry out. They can also cater your next event. Stop in today. Heck, do it now. That's Bite Me Barbecue in Marysville.
Baseball history in Chicago. Hello, this is Rich Cantu on sports. Pittsburgh couldn't touch White Sox righty Lucas Giolito, who struck out 13 Pirates in the first no-hitter of the pandemic-shortened season.
And the pitch to Gonzalez. Line shot into right, coming at his angle. He's got the ball. And this one's over. And Lucas Giolito has thrown a no-hitter here at Guaranteed Rate Field.
On WGN, Sox win 4-0. Bucks forward Giannis Antetokounmpo took home the Defensive Player of the Year award. The Clippers sent a message after thumping the Mavericks 154-111, taking a 3-2 series lead. But Clippers coach Doc Rivers with a message of his own following the police shooting of a man in Kenosha, Wisconsin.
It's amazing to me why we keep loving this country, and this country does not love us back.
Jacob Blake said to be paralyzed from the waist down. The Detroit Lions canceled practice on Tuesday in protest of the police shooting of Jacob Blake in Wisconsin, defensive end Trey Flowers.
Just as everybody in this locker room said, we can't become numb to it, and the world just can't go on. And we came up with this, these words, these slogans.
Players spoke in front of a whiteboard with the words, The World Can't Go On, written on it. The Denver Nuggets keep their season alive after Jamal Murray erupted, scoring 33 of his 42 in the second half, including a dagger to put the Jazz away.
10 on the shot clock. It's an ISO. Murray puts it on the floor to left hand, 15-footer. Got it again! He is insane!
On KKFN, Nuggets win 117-107. They trail the series 3-2. Baseball, Giants walk off on the Dodgers in the 11th, winning 10-8. And Tyler Glasnow struck out a career-high 13 for the Rays in a 4-2 win over Baltimore. Barcelona's Lionel Messi with a stunning revelation, telling Barca he wants to leave after joining the club as a teenager. This is Rich Cantu, ABC.
Like new and on trade and priced right, the Nordis Motor Company has a 2016 Chevy Equinox, a 2016 GMC Terrain all-wheel drive. It's one owner. A 2012 GMC Acadia. 2011 Chevy Silverado 1500 Z71 4x4 pickup, and a 2008 Chevy Silverado 1500 four-wheel drive work truck. Available at the Nordis Motor Company in Marysville.
From AgView.net, I'm Ken Rogers with Ag News. China reaffirmed this week its commitments included in the Phase 1 trade deal. The pledge comes out of a conversation between U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer and Chinese trade officials, the first formal dialogue since early in May. In a statement following the call, Lighthizer said both sides see progress and are committed to taking the steps necessary to ensure the success of the agreement. That call was scheduled for August 15th, which was the six-month anniversary of the trade deal, but both sides offered conflicting statements about why the original call was canceled. China cited scheduling conflicts, but President Trump claimed he canceled the meeting himself. China's pace of purchasing U.S. ag commodities is lagging from expectations, leaving some questioning if China will follow through. The USTR statement said the parties also discussed a significant increase in purchases of U.S. products by China, as well as future actions needed to implement the agreement. Well, Joe Biden, the Democrat Party nominee for president, said that President Donald Trump has sold out American farmers in his governance of the nation's biofuel mandate. In a statement, Biden slammed Trump's delay in announcing annual volume targets for the renewable fuels standard. That federal law sets biofuel blending targets for the nation's fuel supply and for issuing waivers for the mandate to small oil refineries. He said the renewable fuel standard marks our bond with our farmers and the commitment to a thriving rural economy. He said President Trump doesn't respect that connection, and he thrown away to the detriment of generations of producers around the Midwest and across the country, many who just put their trust in him 4 years ago. Now, the Trump administration has granted dozens of small refiner exemptions, those waivers from the RFS given to facilities who claim complying with the law would cause them undue economic harm. He's been roundly criticized in farm country for doing so. That's Ag News from AgView.net. I'm Ken Rogers.
Hello and good Wednesday morning. I'm your farm broadcaster, Sam Speck, with your latest market information right here on the Mid-America Ag Network. Well, as we start off another day here for this Wednesday, we'll first take a quick recap of how things finished up yesterday through the ag commodity markets, as it was a mixed to mostly higher day, higher through the grains and the rest of the row crops, especially after Monday's crop condition report. We saw quite the higher numbers responding and rebounding to Monday's numbers, mostly higher across the grains, with September corn yesterday finishing up 9 cents, finishing at $3.40¾. December corn to $3.54½. That was up 9½. A pretty nice rebound from Monday's losses into Tuesday for the wheat complex, as Chicago spring, Kansas City wheat all with a nice rebound. Kansas City wheat specifically for September finished up 9 cents at $4.44¼. December to $4.55½. That was up 9¼. Same story for the soybeans. A double digit gain, actually, as September beans up 14 to $9.13¾. November was to $9.20¼. That was up 14½. Soy meal also with a sharp gain. September soybean meal gained 250 yesterday to 291.60, and the oil at the close was up 32 points to 31.98. However, for the cotton complex, it was a mostly lower day, as we saw October cotton finish down 18 to 64.98. It was a mixed day to slightly higher throughout the livestock as August live cattle did drop 7 cents to 105.50, though the rest of the complex was higher, including October up 85 to 108.77. Feeder cattle rebounded nicely to see a slightly higher day. August feeders up 25 at the close to 142.25 and September to 143.07 at the close. That was up 22 cents. October lean hog saw a triple-digit gain up $1.35 yesterday to $55.95. Through the energy markets, all but natural gas was mostly higher. Both gold and silver traded sharply low yesterday, and the dollar index was also down 22 points at the close. Sam Speck with your latest markets here on the Mid-America Ag Network.
It's time again for Farming America. I'm Steve Alexander with information about the world's most important industry. It is agriculture, of course. Well, actually, today we're talking about aquaculture. A farmer who converted a hog barn into a shrimp barn. More after this.
Orion here. And if you are looking to increase your profit per acre, and who isn't these days, then I urge you to check out Flora. FLURA has cultivated premium genetic hemp strains from a company of innovators, farmers, and researchers that deliver the highest quality seeds and the infrastructure you need to support your farming operation. Call Jeffrey at 312-206-1864. Check out flora.com.
On a county road near Quincy, Illinois, you will see a farm that looks a lot like other farms all across Farming America. But in what looks to be a hog barn, there are 10 swimming pools, and in those pools are shrimp being raised by Brent and Barb Speckhart. The Speckhart Shrimp Farm, and Brent's on the phone with me. That water has to be salt water, right, Brent?
Yes, it does. We started out buying sea salt that came in boxes. Came from like the East Coast, and really kind of expensive to get the salinity level up to where it needed to be in order to grow saltwater shrimp. So about 2 years ago this fall, we went to a conference down at Kentucky State University, and Kentucky State was working on a formula for mixing your own sea salt, and they had broken down sea salt into, I think, 6 different ingredients that we mix together now, and we just get them at a local feed store, and we mix our own sea salt, and has cut our salt cost into about a third of what it was when we started.
The water temperature has to be fairly constant, too. What does it have to be, and how do you keep it that way?
Yeah, it needs to be around 82, 83 degrees, and that's why we try to keep the building about 84, 85, somewhere along in there. And in the wintertime, we've got a gas heater in there that keeps the building at that temperature. In the summertime, it's a little more difficult because July and August, sometimes our pools will get up as high as, I think we've had them as high as 87 degrees. And while that doesn't kill the shrimp or anything terrible like that, it does decrease their rate of gain and the efficiency.
Okay, so you don't do anything to the water directly. It's just based on the air temperature in the building?
Yes, that is correct. Some people that we have talked to, they actually heat the water, and the water heats the air. But by reversing that and heating the air, and the air is a couple degrees warmer than the water, we do away with a lot of condensation that otherwise would build up in the building. So that's the reason we chose to go the route we did.
We are just about out of time for today, but I've got a lot more questions for shrimp farmer Brett Speckhart of Quincy, Illinois, including where does he get the baby shrimp that he finishes off? More about that and other things tomorrow. Back after this.
We're here today with Chuck Sorzik with the Farmers Cooperative Energy Sales Specialist. Chuck, why should they use Senex Ruby Fieldmaster?
Well, one of the benefits of the Ruby Fieldmaster is with the additive package, you get quicker starts, improved fuel efficiency, prevention of algae growth in the bottoms of your tank. So contact any of our Farmers Cooperative locations for more details.
Investing in our owner's success. Farmers Cooperative.
Farming America is a presentation of the Nexstar Media Group. I'm Steve Alexander.
Today we are having a conversation with Mary Feldhausen from Frontier Farm Credit. Mary, as we know, farming and ranching has always had its share of challenges, and today's environment isn't really any different.
That's right. The ag industry always presents a number of opportunities and challenges each year. Weather, pests, market, trade, and macroeconomic factors have a tremendous effect. Some of these challenges are things producers can control and some aren't. A key to being successful is to identify which ones are within our control and take action to manage or mitigate that risk.
So what are some of the things producers can do today to navigate these challenges?
The first thing we recommend is that a producer have a good understanding of their cost of production. It's hard to manage most types of risk if we don't know where the starting line is. If we are looking to manage revenue risk, we have to know what the minimum revenue floor is to stay in business. One of our business principles is to avoid locking in a loss. It's hard to recognize loss and leverage opportunities without a good understanding of what it will take to be profitable.
So how does a producer get started to gain a good understanding of their cost of production?
First, understand that it's easier than you think. There are a number of aids available to help someone walk through the thought process. We have some very helpful tools that we share with our customers to help them understand their cost. Most producers today think that their cost of production in terms of variable cost per bushel or per head. Those would include things like seed, chemical, fertilizer, fuel, labor, cost of livestock purchased, and rent. But we need to also consider that a large portion of cost can be made up of fixed cost, including family living and debt payments. The cost of production can be very different from one operation to the next, just based on their fixed costs. For example, some producers need to cover all living expenses with farm income, while some might have off-the-farm income to supplement. Also, some producers have many payments for equipment and real estate, while others have less debt service requirements. Each operation is unique. So, while cost averages that are publicly available are a great place to start, we recommend digging into your operations costs specifically.
So, if a producer gains a good understanding of their cost of production, what can they do next?
That is when they can really lean into their marketing plan and take action to take less risk and make more money. There are a number of crop insurance tools available to help. If you haven't looked into what's available for a few years, you will be surprised how the products available have evolved. We now have third-generation crop insurance policies that protect against not only yield and revenue loss, but also against unexpected increases in cost. And what matters most to your bottom line is profit margin. We also have products that insure against drought for hay and forage, and other supplemental products that can stack on top of your multi-peril policy to establish the highest net minimum revenue floor. It has really gotten to the point that crop insurance is not a one-size-fits-all tool. Our full-time crop insurance agents really focus on listening to our customers' goals and then suggesting the right mix of products to achieve their goals. A marketing plan coupled with a strong risk management plan allows a producer to confidently make marketing decisions, oftentimes well before the crop is even planted.
So how can Frontier Farm Credit help?
Well, as I said, the crop insurance industry has evolved a lot in recent years. Our full-time crop insurance agents are focused year-round on understanding this dynamic industry and how we can provide value to our customers all year long. As a farmer-rancher-owned cooperative, we are dedicating to serving the agricultural and rural communities. We understand the dynamic impact that crop insurance has on our customers' ability to take less risk and make more money, and being able to achieve their goals and dreams for their business and their family. We understand that each operation is different, so we focus on understanding your goals and helping design a plan that is right for you. I recommend that folks interested in learning more about how Frontier Farm Credit can help you do this, please reach out to your local office or visit our website at frontierfarmcredit.com.
Kansas Mid-American Network Sports Good Wednesday. A win for the Royals last night as Ryan McBroom drove in the winning run with a single in the eighth inning. Ryan O'Hearn added a solo homer, and the Kansas City Royals beat the Cards 5-4. John Stamount pitched one inning of relief to earn the win. Trevor Rosenthal pitched the ninth, earning his seventh save in seven opportunities. The Royals had lost six of their previous eight games, and the Cardinals had won five of their previous seven. The Royals continue Game 3 of the series tonight with the St. Louis Cardinals in St. Louis. First pitch at 7:15. Kansas City Chiefs Mike Pennell has been suspended for the first two games of the 2020 season, according to the NFL's transaction wire. Last week, Steve Spagnuolo mentioned that the suspension might be coming, saying the team could have to start without Pennell, although he didn't say why. The league didn't give any reason for the defensive tackle's suspension either. Mid-America Network Sports.
Most of us treat chrysanthemums like annuals, but they really can be a perennial bloom. We will tell you how on the Old Farmer's Almanac Radio Report.
If you're a farmer or a rancher, chances are you've thought about joining Kansas Farm Bureau. So what's stopping you? Your membership means you have a seat at the table when it comes to the issues that affect your farm. Things like trade, taxes, water, and regulations. The state's largest farm advocacy organization brings your message to policy decision makers at the county, state, and national level. The voice of agriculture becomes your voice and fights for Kansas farmers and ranchers. And a Kansas Farm Bureau membership includes other benefits. For about $50 a year, you'll receive discounts on equipment and supplies, cell phone plans, financial and legal support, home and office supplies, and more. You'll also receive Kansas Living, a quarterly lifestyle magazine featuring real stories of farmers and producers around the state, plus great recipes, crafts, and things to see and do in Kansas. Join us today. Visit kfb.org/farmer-rancher to learn more.
With more practical tips and useful advice, this is the Old Farmer's Almanac Radio Report for Wednesday, August 26th, the 239th day of the year. Actor Chris Pine has a birthday, and the first Ford Edsel rolled off the assembly line on this day in 1957. Garden centers are overflowing with chrysanthemums right now, and we can't blame you for adding the rich colors to your fall garden. But the ideal time to plant mums is in the spring. They're a hardy perennial with a good chance of surviving the winter if they've had the summer to establish a strong root system. Here's how to overwinter your potted mums. After the first frost, bring them indoors to a cool, dark room. Leave the foliage on and keep the roots constantly damp. In the spring, gradually acclimate them to the light and transplant after the last frost. That is the Old Farmer's Almanac Radio Report. Find more gardening tips online at almanac.com.
KNDY.